KNUS. He's a political commentator and publisher of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. She's a mom and Emmy Award-winning reporter for KDVR Fox 31. This is the Weekend Wake-Up with Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden on News Talk 710, KNUS.
All right, we're back. The sun is up. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. We're talking about death with dignity, but beyond that now. And we just finished talking with Laura Woods, who's just a great Republican, true conservative. If you're like a lot of us and a little tired of paid and bought for Republicans like Cory Gardner and Mike Kaufman, I mean, yeah, I hope they win. But, boy, this Laura Woods is somebody you can really root for and send some money to and volunteer for because she's a real conservative. And talking about real conservatives and real Republicans, we've got George Brockler on. He's the Arapahoe County, or I guess it's the 18th Judicial District.
Judicial District Attorney.
Attorney, and just a great guy, a guy we'd love to have on the program. And I guess we got the Arapahoe High School report.
Yeah, George, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you for having me on again. It's great to be on.
Yeah, one of the, you know, huge thing in the news yesterday and front page news this morning, the shooting report on the shooting last December 13th at Arapahoe High School, where Carl Pearson went into the student there, went into the school with a shotgun, aiming for a teacher, a debate coach that he'd had a grudge against and shot and killed Claire Davis and then killed himself. So the report came out yesterday, and I guess I'm going to just kind of jump in, George, and I mean, your thoughts on the report?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, you know, our role was pretty limited to trying to figure out at the front end what could we do in terms of search warrants and affidavits in support of them to get access to information. And it's not obvious. I think a lot of people think, hey, guy killed himself. Obviously, you'd be able to just go through his computer and the flash drive and the tablet. That's just not the way our Constitution works. There's still rights to be protected there. And I think the other part is we didn't know at the time early on if anyone else had knowledge of this, if anyone else could have been involved. So we were very deliberate, and I think we generated about 13 different search warrants to cover all this stuff. After that, a lot of our role was to try to encourage, you know, the school district, the school administration, law enforcement to continue to give up and chase down information so we could try to figure out the truth of it. And at the end of the day, having gone through the report, you know, the conclusion that I came to was there just wasn't any criminal liability outside of what Carl Pearson did in that high school. He alone, in my opinion, was the one that possessed criminal liability. But I got to tell you, as a father of four whose kids attend schools in that very area, you know, I had a different set of questions in my head about how things went down, but that was and outside my lane as the district attorney. So my function was really satisfied once we concluded there was no criminal liability for anyone other than the shooter.
Well, let me pursue that a little bit about the school, because I know I read the report, and even at the time we were trying to talk to the school district. I mean, you know, we had things like the principal deleting text messages and things. I talked to the security guard who said, you know, there was plenty of warning, and the report revealed even that the teacher, it wasn't like, you know, this came out of the blue. Everybody in that school was worried about this kid. The teacher was trying to get this. I mean, he almost considered quitting. He was so worried about the kid, and the school did nothing. I mean, what, like you said, as a parent, I mean, what would be some of the questions you'd like answered or your concerns about that?
Well, my guess is having gone through the report, Julie, you did the same thing I did. You got to certain points where you looked up and said, I mean, something could have been done right here, or why wasn't this done here? And that's not to suggest that whatever protocols existed in place weren't followed, but my goodness, if there are red flags to be had in that report, there are pages that are coded in them. You pointed out the fact that the teacher who was the target of the shooter's hatred is so concerned, he's revisiting multiple times the administration's office to say things like, hey, can we please pull the video from the parking lot when the shooter announced to his mother, and yet I'm going to kill that guy or I'm going to kill him, and it doesn't happen. And then he's so concerned when the shooter comes back to speech and debate practice after he's been told not to, he goes back to the administration and expresses significant concern and says, you know, I thought about quitting because I didn't want to be a target. I mean, those are pretty big red flags. And outside of my role as a district attorney, as a parent, I do want to hear answers to questions from people who are decision makers on the ground, here's why we didn't do this, or here's why we did this. We haven't gotten
well,
that.
You know, Julie and I had we have animated discussions coming over to the program. What can be done? I mean, you know, involuntary civil commitment, criminal charges. I mean, it's very hard to see exactly what could, should, might be done when you have somebody. I mean, I went to high school and had a kind of a acquaintance friend who you know, 18, exhibited schizophrenia and ended up on a roof with a rifle. And so, you know, a lot of people, mental illness kind of tends to show itself when you get into your, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old. Now, he was committed for the rest of his life, and he's still in an institution. But it's you know, to bring the criminal justice system in, that creates all kinds of problems. They used to have police officers out in L.A. used to have the ability to civilly commit people, and they'd throw their girlfriends in when they threatened to talk to the wife and stuff. What can be done, do you think?
Well, I think the criminal justice system is a bit emasculated from doing anything in this situation. The tools that the school district has or the school has to say things like, you know, don't come back until this happens, or we're going to provide extra monitoring, or, you know, we're going to take pretty significant steps. Those are things I just don't know, Chuck. But you do point out something that I think the people ought to consider, too, and that is, it's not that this guy didn't have a threat assessment. And it's not that the shooter didn't even have exposure to mental health professionals.
Right.
But the mental health professionals are dealing with a guy who, in his journal, in his diary, brags about the fact that he is actively misleading them and that he's withholding information from them. And I think it does beg the question, how effective can these school psychologists and psychiatrists be, whether it's at school or anywhere, if the person that they're trying to treat is not candid and forthcoming with information? And so if someone is intending to do harm, like the shooter here,
right,
I think they can put themselves in a position to check every box the school would want them to check and yet still be a threat to people inside that school.
So how do we solve that? I mean, okay, you have somebody who's suffering. I mean, I don't know if he was suffering from mental disease, but maybe a little bit.
He was clearly off. Yeah.
Clearly off and so forth. And as I said, you know, the solution, I mean, you can send him all the psychiatrists they want if he's bright enough, or even if he's not. I mean, you know, the choices are involuntary civil commitment or criminal commitment. I mean, it's one of the two, because otherwise they can send him all the psychiatrists they want. He's not going to do anything about it.
Well, I don't want to get to the point where, as a society, kid gets upset even a couple times and displays anger verbally in front of something like, hey, I want to kill that guy. And all of a sudden we're like, that's it. You're going off to the loony bin, or we're going to lock you up for a period of time.
Right.
That could have, in some cases, a far more negative impact on that child than something else. But, you know, you can't look at this situation in the rearview mirror with that clarity, that 2020 clarity, and not find things where you say, if they had only done this or if they had only done that. But Chuck, the question is a good one, and that is, what is that thing? What
yeah.
is that
well,
power
know,
we want to give to the school?
Exactly.
And Chuck and
exactly.
I just disagree on this, because in my reading, and I've covered, you know, I mean, I just remember that day going out there. I mean, you know, the photographer and I were in the truck, and it just, I like literally was, thought I was going to be sick. It was just so reminiscent of Columbine. And, you know, and you think this is, I mean, you know, this isn't the second school shooting I've been at. It's, I mean, there's just been so many, and you think we have to, I mean, there's something wrong for not trying to learn from them. And I think what this is, what I took away from this is, here was a kid who, when you go through his journals, he had clearly planned this, like Harrison Klebold, for a long time. And what I think is there were a lot of signs here. And I think it just, as parents, as teachers, as friends, we just can't keep ignoring, or I don't want to say people blew this off, but you have to.
But what's the solution?
Well,
what do you want them to do? That's the hard part.
Well, I wanted the school in this case to go ahead and suspend him. I wanted the school in this case to.
That's great, but they did that with Holmes. He was, hey, don't come back to the school. And did that do anything?
Well, the psychiatrist there, I think, and George can't comment on that. But I mean, I think, George, I mean, there were, I saw in here things that maybe, and I don't want to blame parents, and I'm not trying to blame people, but I'm just saying there were signs here, and in many of these situations, there are signs. And if people say, you know what, you know, worst case scenario, maybe we need to pay attention to this. And I'm not saying lock him up. I kind of personally think there should be a way where things could be reported by psychiatrists and counselors without it getting thrown into a criminal system. And, for instance, I go back to there was a case in Westminster about a year ago, a couple years ago, where it was a young man. It was in high school. He had a fight with his parents. He was troubled. He was seeing therapists. Went to his aunt and uncle's house, took a gun, and was talking about killing people. They took him to his therapist. He said, yeah, I want to go shoot everybody at Stanley Lake and then shoot the president. And in that case, they got him help. But unfortunately, he had to be criminally charged. I mean, do you see a way to maybe work it where it doesn't have to involve, like, criminal charges?
I think there have to be some tools available for that. But you brought up the C word. You brought up Columbine. So, and as someone who prosecuted the guys that sold the Tech DC-9 handgun to Klebold in Paris, I will tell you, and I reviewed that evidence too, there are some parallels there that I think are outside of what can the school do, outside of what can the system do. It's really what should parents do? And, again, I'm not the shooter's mom, and I know that mom and dad had recently gone through a divorce, and that probably wreaked some havoc on the household. But the bottom line is, nosy parents, concerned parents, parents that stay involved, I think there's a far less likelihood that something like this happens. I mean, with the shooter in this particular case, everything that he did comes back to the house. You know, he purchases the shotgun from Cabela's. The receipt is back at the house. He brings the shotgun back. He's messing with the gas cans and making the Molotov cocktails at the house. He's on his computer in the privacy of his house. He's got the Columbine book at the house. I mean, everything comes back to the house. Now, I get it. I mean, I don't have kids that are 17, and I get the idea that, hey, I want to continue to trust them. I want to continue to allow them to flourish and to become responsible adults. But in this case, you have a 17-year-old who mom has had to go to school multiple times to take away from school. She has conceded to the school and to psychologists and psychiatrists he has an anger problem. He has a fixation on this particular teacher who he was going to try to kill. Ultimately, it seems to me that if you're that parent, you don't turn to the school or turn to the criminal justice system and say, where did you fall down? I think you begin to take a more active role with your kids. And you saw the same thing, Julie, with Eric Harris.
Right.
Lived in that basement in that little apartment they'd created for him, and they just basically let him run amok. And if you watch the video that Klebold made in the Harris basement of where they had, quote-unquote, hidden all the bombs, all the little clocks they disassembled to make the explosives for the cafeteria, the carbine that they used, it was all readily available to any nosy parent. My mom found the can of chewing tobacco and the Playboy. I know she would have found anything more than that had I gone down that road.
You know, no, and you're right. I mean, I have a daughter who's 28, and we went through this where, you know, I would find when I did laundry, notes in her clothes, right? You know, the girls would write notes back and forth to each other. And she got mad at me because there was something in the note that concerned me, and I confronted her with it, you know? And she said, you shouldn't be invading my privacy. And I'm like, you have no privacy. I'm your mother. You know, you'll have privacy when you go up and you get your own apartment, you know, and then you can do what you want. But my dad used to say, you're under my roof, you know, your room is my room. And I agree with you that parents, and I don't want to blame this mother because I'm sure she's just heartbroken and did her best. But I think you're right. You know, parents need to be nosy. Well,
what do parents do? Are they supposed to go to the DA and turn their child in? What do you want the parents to do?
I think you stay on it.
No, it's not staying on it. You get a schizophrenic. As I said, I had a classmate who's a schizophrenic. I mean, he was starting to evidence schizophrenia, just beginning of it. What are parents to do? I mean, you know, what are parents to do? Everybody says, well, they should have done something. Boy, if you have a 17, 18-year-old schizophrenic beginning to show signs of schizophrenia, wow. Wow, it's not an easy kind of like, okay, they should have done something. What? You know, and the choices were civil commitment or turn them into criminal authorities. I mean, it's... they're not left with these choices. It's not just a kid you kind of, hey, look, don't, no more bombs, no more, you know,
yeah,
no
but,
more this, no more that. You have to, I don't know what the tools are. I don't know what the toolbox is that parents have.
Chuck, if the conclusion at the end of this is, and I think it's the one nobody wants to get to, but you're sort of picking at it, the idea that, look, are we at a place where there are going to be occasions where there are people that want to do harm to others that we're simply not ever going to be able to identify in advance or stop. That's the scary conclusion, but it's the one that you're pointing to, which is maybe there isn't anything that can do to address this shooter or that could have derailed this particular outcome. And maybe that's true. I mean, I think we try to struggle as a community to look backwards on any horrible event and say, how could this have been avoided? Because if we say it could have been avoided, it means we have some control over
right.
the evil that takes place here.
Right.
And you're saying, what if we don't? What if we don't have control over some of the evil that takes place? That's a good question, too.
Yeah,
and you're right. There are no easy answers. But I also think that you don't not try. I mean, there was the other case. Who was that kid in Arvada who shot up the church? I mean, you know, this kid is getting boxes of ammunition delivered to his house. And same thing. The parents had allowed him to make his own little, you know, teenage man cave where he had, you know, pictures of, you know, he had, like, colored out people's eyes. I mean, it, clearly something was going on with this kid. And, you know, I mean, I just think as a parent, and again, I don't mean to blame the parent because I know these people are heartbroken and do their best.
Oh, yeah.
But
of course.
But it's like if my kid out of the blue started receiving boxes of ammunition delivered by FedEx to the house, I think I would go and say, hello, you know.
What would you do?
You know, I guess, I mean, I would take him to outer Siberia if I had to. I would just do, you just
well,
don't
there is
stop.
No outer Siberia.
Well, then
that
I would,
is the hard part. I mean, because... You know, I've you know, you grow up with people and everything else, but you know the choices are so few with a parent that cannot control the child, and you throw them in the criminal justice system. That's you know that's doesn't often
no,
have good.
There are mental health issues. Yeah.
Well, mental health, but you know, do you throw him into involuntary civil commitment, or is it impossible? You know, they've been throwing people out of the houses. I mean, is it even possible to put somebody into involuntary civil commitment?
Boy, that's a call. I don't want to empower the government to make it easier to just reach out and grab people and throw them into the loony bin as a prophylactic measure when they're like, well, we don't know what's going on, but if we lock them up, we know it won't happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in that world either.
Right.
I don't know.
But George, let me ask you this, though, because you probably, I mean, it's always hard to sort of prove a negative. I mean, we don't know about the cases where there are interventions, where the parents do pay attention, where things do happen. So, you know, will you prevent things? But from where, and just one more question, let me go. But from where you sit, when you see things and you see the people coming through your office, I mean, what are some of the things that at least in your opinion, people are doing right, that at least are getting people back on track?
You know, by the time they get to us, something has failed. I mean, you're right. We don't see a lot of the success stories. But I can tell you that once kids enter the juvenile justice system, you can pretty much bet how involved the parents are in terms of not just coming to court, which they're mandated to, but sort of the interest and enthusiasm with which they take on the responsibilities the court imposes on them, that you can pretty much tell. There's a group of kids there that just aren't going to be back in the system. And some of it is demographic. I mean, in Douglas County, you just see a far smaller recidivism rate because you have families that are largely intact, that have a ton of resources, and that have the ability to focus their time and attention on their kids, even when they screw up. There's not that's not consistent throughout all of Arapahoe County. There are parts of Denver and Adams County, too, where you just don't have that same outcome. So usually the parental involvement, in my opinion, is the number one thing that you see that turns a kid that could go down a bad road into getting right back on the right road.
All right. George, thank you. I would agree with that, too. And we'll let you go. Thank you for your time on this
George,
Saturday.
Great.
As
great
always.
To have you on, always.
Oh, as always, anytime. Appreciate it. You know, and what do you think? 303-696-1971. You know, you can't just give up. We can't just give up, I think. And I think George is right. The families have a lot to do with it. The schools have a lot to do with it. But 303-696-1971. We'll find out what you think right after that. It is 820 here at 710 KNUS.
Colorado politics is sure getting hot. We have all the latest, greatest debates out. Romanoff versus Kaufman, Gardner versus Udall, Beaupre versus Hickenlooper, and we have special guests Jared Polis and his opponent, George Lang. We also have Colorado Attorney General John Suthers. That and more.
The Craig Silverman Show, Saturday mornings from 9 to noon on News Talk 710 KNUS.
David, did you know that Colorado is ranked among the top 10 states in the nation for the number of wild bird species sighted?
Yes, I did.
Well, did you know that watching birds is second only to gardening as an outdoor activity?
I knew that, too. I listen to Bird Talk Saturdays at noon right here on 710 KNUS. Not only do I listen to Bird Talk, I'm the star of this wildly popular call-in talk show featuring interviews, fascinating nature topics, and lots of fun and entertainment.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're my co-host and lovely assistant.
I was born first, so you're my co-host, and Mom always liked me best.
Whatever. Bird Talk is presented by Wild Birds Unlimited, the best nature shop in the known universe for finding the greatest variety of high-quality bird feeding supplies and nature-related art and gift items.
Wild Birds Unlimited introduced the universe to the one-stop nature shop concept over a third of a century ago and is the premier bird feeding supply headquarters. So find out what all the chirping is about. Join the Menno Brothers on Bird Talk, Saturdays from noon to 1, right here on 710 KNUS.
Hey everybody, Don here from Don's Garage Doors. Last year was a record year for our company, and on behalf of my family and I and our incredible team of experts, we'd like to say thank you for your business. We intend to keep earning your trust and working on your garage doors for years to come. We're very proud to be the only garage door company personally endorsed by Dave Logan, which means we've earned his trust and are held to the very highest of standards. To show our appreciation for your loyalty, we are offering a garage door overhaul special. This offer is too good to pass up and is perfect for this time of year. It includes replacing standard springs, rollers, pulleys, or drums, cables and bearings, everything that is needed for a quiet door and long-lasting performance. Under ordinary wear and tear, these parts fail. Call us now before they do. 303-738-DOOR, 303-738-3667, or online at donsgaragedoors.com. Once again, a most sincere thank you from all of us at Don's Garage Doors. We're here to help.
Man, oh man, am I excited to tell you about my favorite jewelry store, William Crowe Jewelers. I had one of my father's old watches that I wanted to wear. William Crowe fixed it up just right and for the right price. They've been in downtown Denver since 1924 and counting, a great family-run enterprise that treats its customers like you're part of the family. They're jewelry experts at design. You come in with an idea, they'll make it for you. Not by sending it out of the building, by doing the work themselves. Certified gemologists and a great sales staff who never work on a commission. Just go in and look around. You'll be stunned by the collections, including vintage and antique estate jewelry at fantastic prices. Nobody buys diamonds better and sells them to you for less. Family-owned since 1924, 16th and Champa in the historic University Building, validated parking right across the street. Give them a call, 303-592-1695, online at williamcrowe.com. William Crowe Jewelers, making Denver sparkle since 1924.
Sue, I noticed when you paid for that dress, you gave them two cards, your credit card and a blue card. Why the blue card?
Oh, the blue card is a rewards card. I get discounts, cash back, even accumulate points that I can use to get all kinds of cool stuff from participating merchants and an online shopping mall.
You're kidding. Where can I use it?
All kinds of stores everywhere, even online shopping. I only need one card, and it works for thousands of businesses.
How much does it cost?
The blue card is free. You can save money, get cash back, even accumulate shopping points every time you use it. When you refer the blue card to someone else, you get paid on their purchases too. You can introduce it to merchants where you shop and get paid every time someone uses it in their store. Earn extra money to pay bills like your house payment, car payment, or even have money for a nice vacation just by telling others about the free blue card. To get your free blue card, call 800-685-7470. 800-685-7470.
Hey, Craig Silverman here for the Harris Law Firm. They are great family law attorneys. If you're facing a separation, a divorce, child custody, grandparent rights, you cannot do better than calling Rich Harris and the Harris Family Law Team. 303-299-9484. The Harris Law Firm is a top-notch team of nearly 20 lawyers focusing exclusively on Colorado divorce and child custody matters. They have offices in Denver and Fort Collins. Call them 303-299-9484, 299-9484, online at harrisfamilylaw.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. Finally, my wife Vicki said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
We called them. They contacted all of our creditors. They stopped the collections calls. They got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
Now, back to News Talk 710's Weekend Wake Up with Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden.
All right, we're back. And we just finished with George Brock there. He always has intelligent, thoughtful comments. You know, the idea of, you know, do you have involuntary civil commitments? And the horror show that is, where all of a sudden you're able to throw people into jail sometimes for extended periods of time, and it's a tough question.
It isn't. During the break, Chuck agreed that I was right. So no,
no
he did
I didn't.
Not.
Never,
he didn't.
Never think you're
I want
right.
to say thank you to George Brock, and I just and he does not want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think he should be governor. but anyway, you know, I think and we'll kind of turn back to politics here, but I just kind of wanted to wrap it up because I think what is important is the family and
well, we kill the family. I mean, you know, the family. Important, then we shouldn't go around lionizing. I'm a single mother. I mean, that, you know, that's the best thing you could be. Just make sure you don't have a hubby around, and then we'll lionize you.
Right.
I mean, it's everything in society. Did you ever see a positive portrayal of a father anymore? Never. I mean, there was a joke.
And even
a fool.
That guy from Seventh Heaven, boy, he went down the hill fast
yeah,
there too. No, you're right. Even
well.
Even on Little Peppa Pig, this is a cartoon
oh,
that
God.
A little boy likes. They kind of make fun of Daddy Pig.
Yeah.
But,
well, I think
well, he always loses the keys. Now there is some truth.
Well, there's absolute truth to it. But you have very few examples of you know, hey, the father looks great here. And it's a sick society that
well, and I think
in
parental rights too. I think you know, I agree with George. You have to be a nosy parent. And you know that sometimes they'll say, you know, don't let your kids have computers in their room. I mean, that's old advice now because kids have computers on their cell phone. you know, that's all out there. But I think you do. You have to be nosy. And I think what's important is I agree with you and George that there are probably some cases that you're not going to prevent when you've got kids lying to therapists. But I think
by being
nosy and by being involved and by sticking with it, I think that there are many cases that, you know, hopefully we prevent from getting worse.
Well, I think for a lot of parents, you know, especially single parents with a single father, a single mother, control of the kids is often, you know, it's beyond them. They can't do it. And there are mental illness. There are people with severe mental illness. And if you think you can control it, they won't, you know, you get them to somebody, they give them the meds, they won't take the meds. So it's not that.
Those are the severe cases. Yeah.
Well, I know, but there are a lot of severe people
right.
out there. I mean, it's not that easy. But let's check in. We got people calling in. Let's go to Mary. Mary, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling because I was listening earlier when you had someone talking about the essentially assisted suicide.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
And this is a terrible idea. and I come at that from certainly a Catholic perspective because
right.
I am Catholic. But my mother had multiple sclerosis
right.
and died of that after about 10 years of a pretty rapid progressive disease. And this was never a thought on her mind and certainly on ours because of the value of her life, regardless of its state. And I think that's really what we're looking at here is when we get to an idea that, and this is where the Catholic Church comes, that it isn't just about the condition of our body. It's who we are. And if we decide that, you know, it's only valuable when it meets these parameters, then you're right. Is it Ezekiel Emanuel you mentioned earlier? Sure, we'd all die at 75.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's make the parameters and set them ourselves. And then we have children like they do in the Netherlands where they say, you know, their quality of life isn't going to be so good, so they convince their parents that it's time to kill them. So.
Well, I think though this, and I understand your point, and you're right. It's a tough issue. But I think what the law in Oregon is you know, you have to be diagnosed with a terminal disease it's going to kill you within the next 6 months. You know, there are a lot of protocols and evaluations and things like that in place. So you know, you're not just going to say, you know, I want my parents to kill me kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. So you're saying you think it'd be horrible, a bad idea to introduce something like this in Colorado?
A really, really bad idea, mostly because of, again, where it goes to from there. And, you know, certainly the abuses other people can make of this, regardless of what kind of controls you're talking about. But it is that sanctity of life issue at every stage. And again, the value of life. And so as I hear this and I think, oh my, there's so many things that's wrong with it. And again, abuses are huge. They are a huge part of that. But, you know, we Americans, boy, we like our autonomy for sure. and the idea of suffering, you know, we don't suffer here. Other countries, you know, look at India, look at any of these places where there's incredible suffering, but those people don't kill themselves. We're the ones who do.
And that's, you have some points, Mary. Thank you for your
call.
I appreciate
your
thoughts.
Let's go to Hugh about civil commitments. Hugh, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was looking for an excuse to call, and you gave it to me in two grounds. For a question first.
Oh, okay.
Everybody seemed to be dancing away from a civil commitment, and I couldn't understand. I don't know. I'm a lawyer, but I don't know this area. I don't know what aren't there protections? I mean, like a judicial hearing and social workers, and it's not like the kid gets put in Canyon City.
Well, you know, I'm not sure there even is, you know, because they don't want to take very many patients, so that you can simply civilly commit a lot of people. And the protections are, there's always been horror things about, you know, forcing people in civil commitments just because, you know, they're going to tell your wife about what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are...
And it's a tough...
Yeah, they're gonna rat out the birth certificate of Obama.
Right. Well, and they're... And, you know, and Chuck is absolutely right. There can be abuses, but... And I have no idea, really, what the civil commitment laws, if they're
involuntary
even...
Civil commitment,
if they're,
yeah.
You know, or what they are. I mean, first, there probably aren't any beds to put them in. You know, that becomes a major issue. You know, you hear all the time at work, we hear they have, like, psych divert, where various hospitals, they're like, hey, we don't have any more patients, you can't bring anybody
here.
Well,
they got some extra ones for the Guatemalans, so maybe they can.
There you go. But you know, I would argue, and that's where Chuck and I, as he said, had an animated discussion. I would say that in certain cases, you know, I would rather risk violating a crazy psychotic person who's going to shoot up a school. I would rather risk violating his rights than have him shoot up a school and maybe sort it out later. But
yeah.
I also agree that there are probably cases that just, you know, if people are going to do these things, they're going to do these things.
What? Can I shift?
Sure.
And this is going to go to something actually, it's something that Chuck just said, and we're in a mind meld. I mean, and Julie, don't get mad at me.
Vulcan mind meld.
I know who controls the microphone. I have real problems. I'll step back. This also relates to Chuck's comments yesterday on Peter's show, and that was what I had. I figured I'd lay in wait.
Big Ed, what did I say?
Lay in wait. Well, what you said, Peter said, are we falling apart as a society?
Uh-huh.
And Krista and Dan and Craig didn't agree. You and Peter did.
That's the usual kind of division.
I mean, I'm with you. And I try to think about why there was that division, but put that aside. I'm not going to talk about that. I use an analogy that what we see as symptoms in our society is like a cork bobbing on the ocean. The underlying currents are what actually are dictating the thing and are the problems. And one among them, I find the chickification of society is, in my view, a major problem.
Oh, yeah, feminizing
and
everything.
And men
yeah.
are on the defensive.
Sure,
and,
they are.
You know, you step up and you say, no, you know, kudos to a single mom, but that is not a good arrangement.
I know, and you know, you had Michelle Obama claiming she was a single mom for a second until she remembered that she was actually married to Obama. Now, I understand her thought process there. We feel like we're a single nation without the father. But
I always say that out of the dust of Woodstock, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, we got Clinton, a serial rapist.
And we're going to have him back, or at least we're going to have her back, yeah.
And then out of the Hate America movement, surprise, we get Obama.
Right.
And yeah. So these things that look like pinpoints are really offshoots of deeper malaises.
Yeah, the one I get, I mean, I just, because I can't help reading it, I'm always shocked by the female teachers who are who are molesting the 14, 15-year-old boys. Yeah. And now they're not just taking one on, they're taking four and five on. You kind of go, that tells you something about society. I know that, you know, that teachers and students, but really, I mean, you really kind of go, wow, that's got to be a symptom of something.
Are we pervy? Yes, we are.
Nuns would never do that kind of
Well, anyway, those are my thoughts, and I... But I agree with you 100%, Chuck. You and Peter came out, there's no turning back. And maybe I'll go a little bit too far, not too far. This is an odd turn for a Boston Irish Catholic. But, you know, I grew up in the shadow of WASP Brahmins.
Right.
Who, and there were things you did and things you did not do, dear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you wore, and interestingly enough, you know, simple things. You'd go to symphony on Friday. I ushered as a term time job at the symphony on Friday afternoon. And I can remember my mother said, what's it like? I said, these rich ladies come from the Back Bay and they wear fur coats that are falling apart. and my mother said, yes, dear, that's the way they are. You just have your fur coat. You don't just go out and blow it. It's an odd way to cite their outlook. But this was a stern and upright mentality. You did things, and if you misstepped, people didn't forget, and you got washed out.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, there's this whole sort of realm of political correctness where everything has to be politically correct and you can't say things.
And just to bring up one of your points, because you always bring up a good one, the chickification of society. We've decided that we're going to get these masculinized NFL players, and we're going to make sure that we chickify them by making sure that any kind of family dispute results in their being thrown on the NFL or whatever Gloria Allred wants to do. I mean, it's just one more example of, you know, the politically correct left, along with the owners, kind of going, "Ee God, you know, I mean, we've got to punish these guys. They're too masculine."
Yeah, it's you already have agreed. Men and women are different, and men, forgive me for saying so. I'm sorry. Let me begin with the women. Women, this is a plus. Women are peacemakers, and their goal is smoothing over in harmony.
I wouldn't agree with that one.
I
don't know who you were married to.
All I do is smooth over in harmony. I don't know where that's coming
you
from.
You must have had a saint of a wife before you got the divorce.
Well, except, you know, when you have Hayden investigative services. We know that. But whereas men, I always think about Elizabeth Barrett Browning's thing about, you know, how do I love, let me count the ways, about how she loves the guy with the same strength that men search after the right. And I think about that a lot because I think sometimes, believe it or not, I think men are more devoted to principle, sometimes rightly, sometimes wrongly, than women are.
There is the Adam and Eve story was based on understanding a little bit of human nature when Eve kind of sniggles up to the serpent.
Oh, yeah.
And
let me tell you, the Bible, I mean, their wives have been
think they're the
Adam
peacemakers.
Adam's a goofball guy, and Eve says, hey, big boy, how about a bite of the apple?
Okay, Hugh, great to have your thoughts, as always.
Thank you for the call. He has a point. I don't disagree with him, and I think, you know, going back to the family thing, there are certain things where, you know, I agree with you that men have sort of been, I'm not marginalized isn't the right word, but
well our son is going to be, I mean, you know, we're going to, you know, he's athletic, he's rambunctious, you know, the sick public school system is want to put him on drugs, you just know that. You know, these sick, you know, and
no, I know.
Until we do away with the public education system, nothing will ever be okay.
Well, I don't know. We can't blame everything on
yes,
teachers. But what
yes,
do you think? 303, we'll continue this. I'm going to go smooth some harmony during the break here.
Peace and harmony.
Peace and harmony. 303-696-1971. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. It's 840 here. You're listening to News Talk 710 KNUS.
Kelly Zero's List would like to recognize Arapahoe Properties and Affinity Electric, two terrific Colorado companies and certified heroes that give back to our community. Your business can become a member of Kelly's Heroes List and receive 6 on-air interviews with me on KNUS just by signing up to become a member. Less than $400 a month. It's a unique investment, and it pays for itself and helps the community. Learn how to become a member of Kelly's Heroes List. Go to khlist.com. That's khlist.com.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. You're behind. You don't want to deal with the IRS on your own. Our good friends, Ron and Jack Larson from Larson Tax Relief, they know how to take the pressure off and help you get back on your feet.
That's right. We can give you a quick tax relief evaluation on the phone to find out what solutions may benefit you. Our team of licensed tax professionals have helped thousands of businesses and individuals achieve a favorable tax resolution to their IRS and state tax debts.
Man, it's a relief to know someone with your kind of expertise, Ron. When's the best time for people to reach out to you?
If you owe $10,000, $20,000 or more in back taxes, give us a call. We'll make sure that you don't pay a penny more than you legally owe, and on terms that work for you. We may be able to save you thousands.
Jack, there's lots of companies out there say they can help with back taxes. Why would they choose Larson Tax Relief?
Experience. We have it. We have an A-plus with the BBB, plus your satisfaction is guaranteed. Check out our guarantee and all of our services online at LarsonTaxRelief.com.
Give them a call, 844-LARSON-TAX, 844-LARSON-TAX, LarsonTaxRelief.com.
If you run a business, you know you need to protect your property and your employees. At Security Central, we've been securing Colorado businesses for over 40 years. As your local authorized Honeywell dealer for commercial security solutions, we bring you the very best security and life-saving technology. Honeywell high-definition video surveillance, electronic entry systems, and automated alarms can help you manage your business better, while our local 24-hour quick care professionals keep you informed of any emergencies day or night. With Honeywell and Security Central, you get the strength of the industry leader with the service of a local friend. Call Security Central today to receive Honeywell Total Connect services free for 3 months with any new alarm monitoring package. Some restrictions apply, so call 303-721-0111 or go to securitycentralinc.com to see why Colorado businesses put their trust in Security Central.
Security Central, we care.
Little Jack Horner sat in a corner of his ransacked apartment, wondering what kind of nitwit steals a futon. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped him with renter's insurance, and he got full replacement. Unfortunately, little Jack Horner had to have his stomach pumped when he ate a 6-month-old Christmas pie. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Listen up, everybody. This is Flo with a Progressive Insurance Alert. Don't even try to change that channel. I'm on all of them. So, you already know Snapshot rewards our customers for their good driving. Well, now anyone can test drive Snapshot for free, even if you have insurance with another company. See how much you could save before you switch your insurance. Also, I'm offering kazoo lessons on Saturdays.
Test drive Snapshot today. Visit progressive.com/snapshot. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states.
Tomcat kills up to 12 mice per bait block, faster than decon. What will we do with all of these dead mice? Tomcat presents Dead Mouse Theater, and the critics are raving. They solved my mouse problem and renewed my faith in theater. I like my mice dead, but dead mice that can act are even better. Tomcat got the mice out of my walls, onto the stage, and into my heart. Dead Mouse Theater. Open to the public this fall at Tomcat.com. Tomcat. Engineered to kill. One ounce bait block based on no choice lab tests. Time for lethal dose to death.
Hey, did you hear who's delivering?
Not another pizza place.
It's Sylvan Learning, and they're delivering results.
What?
Yeah, Sylvan students typically see up to 3 times more growth in their math and reading scores than if they hadn't gone to Sylvan.
And you knew this?
Jason's been going since last semester.
Does he like it?
He loves it. And they use iPads to keep the sessions fun and engaging.
Sounds smart.
With programs to fit your family's busy schedule and budget, call 1-800-EDUCATE or visit Sylvan online to learn how they can deliver long-lasting results for your child.
It's time to earn your MBA at DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. Keller professors share real-world experience so students graduate ready to advance in their careers. Get started with our merit-based Career Catalyst Scholarship with up to $8,000 for new students who qualify. Classes start October 27th. Full details at keller.edu/scholarships. For students who qualify and start by November 2014, subject to approval and availability of funds, DeVry University is authorized for operation by the THEC, certified to operate by SHED. In New York, DeVry University operates as DeVry College of New York.
We now return to News Talk 710's Weekend Wake Up with Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden.
All right, it's almost 9 o'clock. Time flies. It's going to be beautiful, but we have a PSA.
That's right.
This is from Julie concerning children in basements.
Parenting advice. This is from George Brockler talking about Harrison Klebold in their basement room. I'm just going to tell anybody out there, do not get your kid a basement room. Just without an elaborate security system installed.
Cameras.
I remember my daughter was 12 or so, and we had a big house, and we finished the basement, and she got her dream, which was a basement room. The next morning, I woke up and there was snow, and there were little footprints in the snow leading out of the window of her basement room, the screen in place. And right then I realized I had made a terrible mistake because I couldn't get her out of it. I mean, she was never going to leave the basement room.
Yeah, so eviction notice and get the courts involved.
So just right there, don't let your kid have a basement room. It's just a bad – we have a small place, and I was telling Chuck, it's like, you know, our little boy is 3 now, but it's like he can't get away from us. The other thing, I think, only have one TV, you know.
Only have one TV.
Only if they want to play video games and one TV, y'all got to do it together there.
Yeah, well, you know, dads have a different view of that, but let's go to Aaron. He's always fun and interesting, and he's a little tired of the doom and gloom. Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Hey, Chuck and Julie.
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck.
Good morning.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, you know, it's like the last caller, and, you know, I was listening to Peter and you and Dan, Captain America, capitalist, and there's Greg Silverman, you know, having basically a round table of politically incorrectness.
There you go.
And not being politically correct, but politically incorrectness. And I was listening to Peter's show all week, the doom and gloom. You got ISIS, you got the Ebola, Obama, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, I mean, every generation of generations had to deal with problems. You know, I was watching the Roosevelt, you know.
How'd you like that? I enjoyed that a lot. I mean,
by Ken Burns, and it was really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, how America tried to, you know, isolate itself from the rest of the world when it came to World War One or World War Two.
Yeah, the one thing about Franklin Roosevelt they don't point out, he's an idiot. And the guy was an idiot. He was called the feather duster. You know, I'm from New York, and he was called the feather duster because he never had anything important to say. And I'm always amazed by how lionized you have this mental midget who spent all his time trying to emulate his fifth cousin. Anyway, that wasn't your point. So.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, every generation has to deal with the, you know, had to deal with problems. In the United States, we have, you know, my generation and generations before me had to deal with the problems. And the thing is, it's not the end of the world because Peter thinks the United States is in decline and all that stuff.
Well, this is like, we are, in my mind anyway, like Rome was in like 2020 AD. I mean, yes, you know, things have gone good and bad, but bad things are about to really start picking up.
Well, you know, Aaron, I agree with you because Chuck will get, you know, we're doomed. And I'm like, when I'm doomed, that means I run up the credit cards because I might as well, you know. And even that's not that bad then, really, when you get right down to it. But I kind of agree with you, too. I don't think we're quite as doomed as maybe, you know, everybody else.
So you're on the Dan Capitalist, Captain America, Craig Silverman, and Krista Caperside?
Yeah, I have to agree with those guys because they said, man, we're just tired of hearing all the doom and gloom. We want to hear some positive stuff. We want to hear positive
news. We talked about assisted suicide. What
more
do you want?
That's right. We had a very positive segment on assisted suicide earlier, Aaron. You missed it.
No, actually, I listened to that. You know, and the thing is, though, I said, man, talk about some doom and gloom.
Feel like, hey, let me have one of those pills.
I guess if we took those pills, Chuck, we wouldn't worry about doom and gloom. It'd just be over.
There would have been some kind of factory malfunction, and you know the FDA hadn't checked him, and you would live.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
You would be waiting. Everyone
well, it's
would be.
Like, you know, they give those same drugs in some form as part of those executions that don't work.
Yeah.
And you kind of look so good.
The thing is, marijuana is legal in the state of Colorado.
That's right. That'll take our worries away.
You can, you know, roll up a doobie and escape reality.
That's my problem. I just haven't been into this legal marijuana partaking, and maybe that'll, you know, it wouldn't make anything better, but you just wouldn't care.
you
just
no, you You wouldn't care. You saw the world is all good. purple clouds.
Get yourself some Mountain Dew and Doritos, and there you go.
There you go.
Aaron, thank you for the call. Visit Greg Silverman's wandering around here. Sometime he's coming up next at the top of the hour. It's 8:50 here at 710 KNUS.
Man, oh man, am I excited to tell you about my favorite jewelry store, William Crowe Jewelers. I had one of my father's old watches that I wanted to wear. William Crowe fixed it up just right and for the right price. They've been in downtown Denver since 1924 and counting, a great family-run enterprise that treats its customers like you're part of the family. They're jewelry experts at design. You come in with an idea, they'll make it for you. Not by sending it out of the building, by doing the work themselves. Certified gemologists and a great sales staff who never work on a commission. Just go in and look around. You'll be stunned by the collections, including vintage and antique estate jewelry at fantastic prices. Nobody buys diamonds better and sells them to you for less. Family-owned since 1924, 16th and Champa in the historic University Building, validated parking right across the street. Give them a call, 303-592-1695, online at williamcrowe.com. William Crowe Jewelers, making Denver sparkle since 1924.
David, did you know that Colorado is ranked among the top 10 states in the nation for the number of wild bird species sighted?
Yes, I did.
Well, did you know that watching birds is second only to gardening as an outdoor activity?
I knew that, too. I listen to Bird Talk Saturdays at noon right here on 710 KNUS. Not only do I listen to Bird Talk, I'm the star of this wildly popular call-in talk show featuring interviews, fascinating nature topics, and lots of fun and entertainment.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're my co-host and lovely assistant.
I was born first, so you're my co-host, and Mom always liked me best.
Whatever. Bird Talk is presented by Wild Birds Unlimited, the best nature shop in the known universe for finding the greatest variety of high-quality bird feeding supplies and nature-related art and gift items.
Wild Birds Unlimited introduced the universe to the one-stop nature shop concept over a third of a century ago and is the premier bird feeding supply headquarters. So find out what all the chirping is about. Join the Menno Brothers on Bird Talk Saturdays from noon to 1 right here on 710 KNUS.
Years ago, the family doctor was a fixture in communities across the country. He'd come into your home and personally treat whoever needed help. He was part of the family. And while that practice has faded into memory, there is someone who keeps the tradition of personal health care alive, your local Health Mart pharmacist. While much of health care has become confusing and impersonal, you can drop by your neighborhood Health Mart pharmacy anytime, where your pharmacist will know you by name, not by refill number. That's the spirit of caring you can expect from each independently owned Health Mart pharmacy around the country. So even if a doctor won't be stopping by your house today, you can stop by your local Health Mart pharmacy to get the advice, encouragement, and expert guidance you deserve. Visit healthmart.com for the location near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-451-9814. 1-800-451-9814. That's 1-800-451-9814. 1-800-451-9814.
Great doctors, the best technology, the lowest price. Craig Silverman for Icon LASIK. Icon has performed far and away more LASIK than anybody in Colorado. Nobody can beat them when it comes to technology, experience, and affordability. They do cataracts, too. I had my LASIK done at Icon. So did John Elway. Ever heard of him? What are you waiting for? Get rid of those glasses and contact lenses. 720-524-1001. Online at icondenver.com. icon.com, 720-524-1001. It's Icon for LASIK.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
This is News Talk 710's Weekend Wake Up with Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden.
All right, it's almost 9 o'clock. It's going to be tea time coming up here in a little bit.
And pumpkin festival
and
time.
First pumpkin festival, then tea time. Well, maybe who knows which is first, but we know that with us is Dr. Silverman, who's got some excitement and is going to have on somebody at 9:05.
I am. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Julie. I have Art Kane on. I've known Art for a while. He's a very good journalist. He used to work at the Denver Post, then at Channel 7, and now he works for a watchdog organization, and he's been trying to get information about John Hickenlooper and his taxes. Uh-huh. I know a little something about that because we tried and made then-Mayor Hickenlooper so mad he would never come on the radio anymore, but he never threatened us with arrest. That's what happened to Art Kane, but Art Kane's not backing down. He'll be on at 9:05, and we will tell you the rest of the story.
You know, reporters, you love it when they threaten to have you arrested.
Yeah, you know you're over the target.
I remember, and Hickenlooper, I think there was a Fox reporter, Leland Vittard, who I probably think kind of crossed a line in trying to chase down the governor. But one of the security people, like, flashed his gun at Leland and threatened to have him arrested. It's like, really? Really?
And Leland's a great reporter, too.
He's
now
great.
He's with Fox News. He used to come to our radio studio.
He was on the National, though. I just saw him up on the screen about 10 seconds
that's right.
ago.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about insubstantial journalists who aren't well-respected. John Hickenlooper has a glass jaw. We're going to expose it and maybe shatter it today.
Well, and why would anyone even say, oh, we're going to arrest a reporter? It's like, because first of all, you know you're not. Because if you're the reporter, you're saying, please arrest me. That
yeah,
would just so
great.
Boost my career. I could go total national if you just arrested me, you know? It's like, it's a silly thing for any kind of public information officer or a media spokesperson to even
but
pretend
Hickenlooper
to do.
But Hickenlooper is incredibly thin-skinned. I mean, he does get a, you know, you're talking about Craig's time in the pro. I remember that show and he replayed it the other day, which I just loved, where, you know, everybody loses their halo at some time in politics. And that was the day that Hickenlooper lost his halo, because you could tell he was lying. He was just lying. And it sounds like this guy's got him down. Because once you say, we're going to have you arrested, you kind of like, you might as well say, I'm guilty. Whatever you're searching for, it's I don't want out there.
We've got another guy who backed down John Hickenlooper, Jared Polis, on our show 10:30 a.m. And then in Craig's Lawyer's Lounge, the Attorney General of Colorado, John Suthers, at 11.
Well, is he going to talk about the same-sex marriage thing? That's kind of, now he went from fighting against it to now ordering the clerks to issue the same-sex marriage licenses.
Right. How about that? Jared Polis and John Suthers back-to-back.
Back-to-back. Well,
and in their own way, they're a lot closer than you might imagine.
What do you know?
Oh, I know. Well, never mind.
Politically
speaking, not otherwise.
What's Polis going to talk about? Fracking? Or?
We're going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. I also invited his opponent, George Lang, who got endorsed by the Fort Collins Coloradoans.
They're going wild now. I mean, with Craig Gardner, Corey Gardner getting endorsed by the Denver Post, and we even got a shout out. The Glendale Cherokee Chronicle got a shout out in the editorial.
I saw that.
Yeah,
people parking on their driveways in a ritzy neighborhood.
And Polo Club North.
We talked about doing the story at Fox, but then we realized it was a gated community and we couldn't get in, so we did not do that. I know a lot of people look happy. It's Romanoff. Money being pulled, and on our show,
Udall's money being pulled.
I'm declaring both those races over. Corey Gardner wins, Mike Kaufman wins.
All
Let's focus on the governor's race.
There you go. All of that coming up next. Thank you. That'll do it for us. Craig is up next.
All right.